Well, take your Bibles and turn back over there to the book of 2 Chronicles tonight with us, right there before Ezra chapter 1. We'll read a little bit in Ezra chapter 1 after a while as well. The Word of God's good, isn't it? It's rich, and I appreciate it tonight, the precious old book, amen, the Bible, God's holy Word, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'll stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Those kids' songs, sometimes we call them kids' songs, it do us adults good to sing them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak. We're weak people. Say amen. But the Word of God said He is strong. I like what Paul said. He said, in my weakness, His strength is made perfect. Good to see you, Sister Jane. I ain't trying to point you out back here. I'm just trying to say from my heart, it's good to see you. I know Brother Larry's fighting a battle of battles right now. I appreciate you all so very much. Amen. We talked to you this morning for a little while about that time when there's no remedy. We looked over there in 2 Chronicles 36 where they mocked the messengers of God. They despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. That's a time when they were ushered in to the Babylonian captivity. And God just allowed the enemy. Please listen to what I'm saying tonight. America's a wonderful nation. It's a wonderful country. There's not a place in the world I'd rather live. But America can get too big for her britches. Did you hear what I said tonight? And when I read stories about this, I mean, God's got His hand on Israel. And God's got His hand on America. But I believe America's pushing the limits tonight. I mean, they're pushing the limits tonight. And I believe that America, too, could come to a place where there's no remedy, no turning back. And God's people need to be praying. What I'd like to address tonight now is the remnant to rebuild. I'd like to go down through these verses tonight and show you what's going to happen when God, when they're turned into captivity. But I thank God that God in another generation is going to find a remnant. And I want to talk about that remnant tonight because honestly, I believe listen to me carefully, I don't know that I have Bible per se for this. But I believe one of the things that's keeping the judgment hand of God off this country right now is a remnant. Just a little remnant of people that know God, that love God, and that want to see their family saved, want to see their loved ones saved, their co-workers saved. And here we're going to look at that remnant tonight. Let's look here in verse number 17. The Bible said, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees. By the way, let me just say this tonight. In my studies, you know, Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees. So there was a time when there were some good people down there among the Chaldees. Are you seeing that picture right there? But Abraham's called out. And evidently, there's a generation of people that goes to pot, so to speak. And I'm not talking about the kind in Colorado, but it might as well be. Say amen. They just went to sin. And the Word of God said He brought them upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. Think about how brutal this is. And had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man, or him that stopped for age. He gave them all into His hand. I really believe that there's all kinds of sinful acts taking place here, along with the brutality. And the word of God said in verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of the princes, his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. I wonder, don't you have to stop and wonder if maybe some of these people aren't thinking like something like this? What if we would have listened to the man of God? What if we would have heeded the message that God, in his compassion, sent messengers to give to us? I have to wonder if some in that generation didn't think about that. And then the Bible said, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. So there was 70 straight years here of captivity and 70 straight years that the land, having missed those Sabbaths, was making up. The land was laying there desolate. Now, where I'm wanting to get to tonight is in verse 22 and 23 and on over into chapter 1 a little bit in Ezra. But now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. Another word for accomplished would be fulfilled. In other words, this is happening because God said it was going to happen through the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet. I think it's important tonight in this generation that we live in to tell people, listen, if God said it's going to happen, mark it down. It's going to happen. I mean, they didn't believe it in the days of Noah. And I'm telling you, we're living in a generation that don't believe there'll be the blood, the water turn into blood, the hailstones, a third of the vegetation on fire, that don't believe there's going to be, beloved, a fire that's going to consume the rocks and the mountains. The Word of God tells us and that men and women will flee for and want to die, actually, as they flee to the mountains. A lot of people don't believe it, but it's still the truth. The Bible said here, now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. I've enjoyed studying this. I hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, this is what Cyrus said, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. Let me say this to you tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every politician would acknowledge tonight that it's the Lord God of heaven that's allowed them to be where they are? You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, let me say this to you. It don't have to be a saved man to know this. The hand of the Lord, my friend, the king's heart, it's in the hand of the Lord. God sets them up. God takes them down. And God set Cyrus up for this point in time, having already been prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet and Isaiah as well. I'll show you that after a while. But the Bible said here, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. I've done a lot of studying in my life in Ezra and Nehemiah, but I don't think I've done much studying in the last chapter of this book. But God's helping me with some truth here, and I pray that I can convey that tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this remnant, a remnant that was sent to rebuild. I pray, Lord, tonight as we examine and the Word of God, that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to understand, Lord, that though in this world there are many things, many avenues that are being used of Satan, the prince and the power of the air, to tear down in this world that we live in, that God, you have called upon us to build up one another on our most holy faith. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us to show, Lord, these truths that you've, Lord, conveyed to our heart, and help us tonight, Lord, to glean something that would cause us to want to go out of here and lift up high the bloodstained banner. Tell a lost and dying world, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still saving to the uttermost those who will believe. And Jesus is coming again. I thank you, Lord, for the truths tonight of your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, tonight over there, when you had the spies that went into the land of Canaan, there were only two that got to enjoy the land 40 years later. So you can see there's a generation here that's turned their back on God. They're not going to have an opportunity to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. But in the generations to come, God is going to have a remnant of people that's going to be interested once again in the things of God. And that's a blessing tonight. I want us to see this remnant and what they have tonight that I believe you and I enjoy tonight as well, and look at the parallel in the Word of God. First of all tonight, the Bible said here in verse 22, "Now in the first year of Cyrus the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah." The first thing I want us to see tonight is this is taking place because of the word of the Lord. I don't believe there's enough emphasis in our generation put on this book. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart that this right here is the secret. This right here is the key. That this precious book, whatsoever he says to us tonight, if we just all do it, I believe that'd be a blessing tonight. And we could be a blessing and be a part, not of the tearing down that's going on in this world, but of the building up of the brethren and the building up of God's church. We know that Jesus is building the church, but we know that we're laborers together with God, and God wants to use us tonight. And so I believe before, if you study this chapter, the Word of God has been avoided. The Word of God has been set to the side. One of the most dangerous things people can do in any generation is set this book over to the side. Beloved, listen, we can't afford that as the people of God. We're getting close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get this book right in the forefront. Let this book be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And let God's word speak to our heart each day of our life. And when we do that, beloved, I believe we'll be a part of that little remnant that wants to see God do something in our generation. Amen. I believe, listen, tonight as I studied and thought about this, there are years and years and years that go by. If you'll study some of the great revivals, sometimes people prayed for years and years. We're in an instant society. We want it now. Sometimes the pastors get discouraged and they quit because they're not seeing anything. And I believe with all of my heart, God's looking for a people that'll be faithful, a daddy that'll be faithful, a mama that'll be faithful, for Christians that'll just stand true regardless of the result, because that's what's going to matter in the end. Have we been faithful to him? The word of the Lord, before it's avoided, but now it's accomplished. Look what he said here. He said that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. How many is excited about the day that's coming, listen, when we will be able to sit down at the marriage of the Lamb? God's already said it, but one day it's going to be accomplished. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart that what God said, God will perform. He will, my friend, he will do that he has said he will do in the Word of God. I see the Word of the Lord. The remnant needs to keep their eyes and their heart and their mind geared towards the Word of the living God. But let me give you this. There was a man of the Lord. That man was Jeremiah. This same man that before was mocked, he's not being mocked anymore. There's a remnant of people. Instead of mocking the man of God, now they believe the words that are coming forth from the man of God. I say this to you, my wife will tell you, listen, I'm not just a pastor. What I mean is, I'm not a pastor with no one else to look to. I was watching a YouTube video a while ago. I didn't even know one existed, but I got Brother Mays Jackson. Oh, the memories that brought back in my heart and my mind. The quality of the video wasn't real good, but the quality of the Word of God was just as good as it ever has been. Amen. Oh, to hear His voice say, "Beloved, look this way. I want to speak to you tonight." What a blessing to know, beloved, that the man of God in every generation, there's some, my friend, that'll mock him, but there's others that'll listen. And God is looking for a remnant of people that will hear the Word of God as it comes forth from the man of God. And I see something else here that's important to this remnant. That is the Spirit of the Lord. You say, "Preacher, where do you see that?" Watch what the Bible said here. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Let me ask you something. Did God stir with a stick? No, God stirred with His Spirit. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. It happened, beloved, just like God in the Word of God had said it would happen. I got to take a little time. There's a little reading to do here. But I want to give you something tonight that I think will be a blessing to you. And could it be that God used the prophet Daniel in this stirring of Cyrus? You know, we talk, that would be combining the man of God and the Spirit of God. But watch what he may have showed him, showed this king some of the prophecies. One of the prophecies would be starting in Jeremiah 25:8. Listen what the Bible said. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all the nations round about. I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all nations." You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say it could be, beloved. Listen, that this was presented, the prophecy that was written in the Word of God was presented to the king. And the king said, "You know what? I might be part of this. Watch this. Hold on for just a minute." Beloved, there's also a prophecy in Jeremiah 29. Listen to what it gets better. The Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord," Jeremiah 29:10, "that after the 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I'll visit you and perform my good toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." I'm just saying tonight, could it be, beloved, that somebody took the word of the Lord to the king. Somebody took it to Cyrus, and Cyrus said, "You know what?
I've seen some of this stuff before. When God writes it down, it happens just like God wrote it down. You say, now, preacher, what about this? If he showed him those, what about if he went to Isaiah 44? Listen to this. This happened 150 years before Cyrus was born. This was prophesied. How many believe God can call the shots before the shots ever get here? Amen. I believe that, don't you? Listen to what he said in Isaiah 44:28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by my name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I believe this would stir up a man's heart to find his name written and the prophecy written in the Word of God 150 years before it ever happened. Amen. God knew. Yes, there would be a people to whom there was no remedy. But thank God Almighty, give them 70 years and there's going to be a remnant that's going to go home and rebuild and do what God wants them to do. That's a blessing to me tonight. The Word of the Lord, the man of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. But then there's the gift of the Lord. Look what the Bible said here. Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kings of the earth, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Let me just say this tonight. Cyrus had a lot more sense than a lot of people do. He realized where every good and perfect gift came from, that it was a gift from heaven. Beloved, I tell you tonight, that would change the way you look at a peanut butter cracker. If you realize it was the God of heaven, the same one that gave his son to die on an old rugged cross that lets you have a peanut butter cracker and a glass of milk. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, that's not a perfect gift. I tell you, you go ahead and have to have something big to rejoice over if you want to. I'm going to rejoice over a pair of socks that don't have a hole in them and shoes to wear and clothes to put on my back, food on my table, a roof over my head, a family that loves me, a church to go to, a Bible to read, a God in heaven to talk to. I'm going to rejoice over those big things as well as those little things, because every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everything that hurts us comes from old Slewfoot, comes from this flesh, and comes from this world. But everything that's good comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift. I thank God for that tonight. You know, tonight, Brother Brian was, I guess, notorious would be a good word, a good way to say it. When he prayed years and years and years and years, that he would always thank God for his health. You know, I think a while back you were teaching Sunday school, Brother Brian, I can't remember who it was in your family, that maybe it was your mom said, son, your health is your wealth. Was it your mama? It was your mama. I'm going to tell you, when's the last time you just said, thank you, God, that I can see? I'll tell you how we are in this old flesh. We grow up because we have to wear glasses. Well, you know, thank you, God, that I can hear. Don't let me grow up because I need to wear hearing aids. Say amen. Let me just thank God I can hear. Thank you, God, I can walk. Thank you, God, I can think. Thank you, God, I can read. A lot of people in this world are so full of pride. They think they, you know, just like the previous president said, you didn't build that. You understand that? He's talking to the small business people. Said, you didn't build that, like everybody else built that. It'd been different if he had said, God of heaven built that. Say amen. It is the God of heaven that give us these hands. It is the God of heaven that's give us this mind. It is the God of heaven that's given us everything that we have. I appreciate him tonight, the gift of the Lord. There's a King Cyrus that realizes that God has given him the kingdoms of this world, and he has a responsibility in this remnant to rebuild. Not only is the word of the Lord prevalent, the man of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, the gift of the Lord, but then lastly tonight, look at the people of the Lord, the God's people. In verse 23, who was there among you of all of his people? Let me just say this tonight. Listen to me carefully. God, just the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart right here. Listen to me. Cyrus wasn't saying that to his own people. Who is there among you? He's talking to the Jews now. In other words, beloved, the job for the church today is not for the heathen to do. Who is there among you? That's God's people. Who is there among you that will raise up and rise up and be a part of that remnant that says, hey, I know things are being torn down here and torn down there and tore up here and tore up there. I don't want to be in the tearing down business. I want to be in the building up business till our King, our Lord, comes and takes us home. Watch what he said. Who is there among you of all of his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Cyrus, the king of Persia, realized this. God's people can't do it without God's presence. Who is there among you? Let him go up. Let God be with him. Let him go up. Now, if you look over in the book of Ezra in chapter number 1, I just want you to see something that I hope will be a blessing to you tonight. I had to look up some things. I couldn't find the answer in the Bible. If it's there, then you can show me. If you'll do that kindly, I'd appreciate it. But I couldn't find it exactly. So sometimes you have to go on history. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, we know the number according to Ezra 2. I believe it's verse. Let me look here and make sure. No, that's not right. I thought that reference just did not look right. But anyway, I believe it may be, let's see here, it's 66. Look at Ezra 2 and verse 66. No, that's not right either. Here we go, verse 64. I'm sorry, I got one number wrong when I wrote it down here. Ezra 2, verse 64. The whole congregation together was 42,303 score. I believe that's 42,360, isn't it? Is that right? 42,303 score, 42,360. And I knew, beloved, listen to me carefully. I knew that it was just a remnant that went back out of the captivity, that went back to rebuild. You can study this also in the book of Nehemiah. But I didn't know, like, how many there were total. Historians believe that at this time, listen to me carefully, there was upwards of 1 million Jews. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. Historians have been wrong. Somebody help me. But what I'm trying to do is paint you a picture tonight that it looks like to me in every generation, not all of God's people get in on this building process, get in on this rebuilding and the work of God and the labor of God. I told you a while back, I think, that a preacher came and he was a pastor and he preached a meeting for me. You know, he was preaching for the Lord, but I say that in the church I pastored. And he said, when he was standing in the pulpit, he said, my people are 100% willing. And oh, I felt so low. I thought, boy, oh boy, how nice it would be to pastor a church like that where the people were 100% willing. This kind of goes along with Brother Brian's Sunday school lesson this morning. He paused. He said, 10% are willing to work and 90% are willing to let them. That's what he said. Amen. Can I say this to you tonight? God wants us all. We're saved. He wants all that are in that remnant of born-again believers to put our hands to the plow and do what we can. God's never going to require of us what we can't, but he will require of us what we can do. I thought about, as I watched one of the videos, I was showing Jacob today, the cards were sitting on the communion table. Everybody could take a card and say, would you watch this video? It'll tell you how to get to heaven. I'm on my way. I want you to go with me. You say, preacher, what do you do if somebody says, well, I'm saved? I'll tell you what I do. I say, do you know anybody that's not saved? Oh, yeah. Give them the card. Somebody help me. Amen. Don't give up. You have a family member. You have a friend. You have somebody that don't know Jesus. Give them the card. Encourage them to watch it. But I always tell them this, because everybody says they're saved ain't saved. How many of y'all done figured that out? I say, you watch it first. Make sure you agree with it. And then pass it on. Amen. Pass that message on. God had given the people of God a job to do. He said here in chapter number 1, who is there among you, verse 3, of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let these men help with the silver and the gold, and with the goods, and with the beast, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Some were going and some were giving, but thank God there's a remnant of people that are trying their best to see the work of God go forward after that the enemy had burned the place down, torn the walls down, tore the place all to pieces, took them into captivity. I say tonight, there's a lot of destruction in our land. Let's be in the construction business. Let's ask God to use us to build one another up in our most holy faith. I believe as we get in closer to the coming of the Lord, we're going to need one another more than we ever have before. I don't mind that. I don't, because I'm confident that I don't believe I'll ever be like David when he said, I looked on my right hand, there was no man that cared for my soul. I just believe that Jesus will have somebody. If we'll just do what God wants us to do, there'll be somebody in that remnant to walk with us all the way to the end. Amen. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. That's a blessing to me tonight. How many's glad you come tonight? How many feels like we're just go out of here? We're leaving the church. We've come to worship and just go out of here and work this week. Do what we can. Amen. For the glory of God. I believe God's still in the church building business. Amen. I want to be a laborer together with God. We had a precious family with us this morning, practically filled up a whole pew. God being my helper, I want to see them this week. I've preached to them from a pulpit. I want to talk to them face to face. Amen. I believe sometimes, beloved, listen, it's easier to sense somebody's need if you just sit down with them and listen. Listen. Some people, that's what they need, is somebody to listen. Just a little bit. I'm glad you saved tonight. Thank you for coming. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. If you're not saved, run to this altar. Don't wait on me or any other preacher. If you are saved, let's run for the Lord. What did the Bible say? Run with patience the race that's set before us. You know, I look out there tonight and I'm encouraged. This many people would come back on a Sunday night and want to hear the Word of God. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.